This is a replay of the Thursday night, October 17th, WGN show. We started at 11. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempts us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did. And it is from the Lunatic Fringe, and it is Raleigh James, and I have no idea what happened to my open. Oh, wait, here it is. All right, so we can be formal after all.
Direct from the edge of the Lunatic Fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 2 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, it will be on mine, providing it has no importance whatsoever, of course. And John just came in to tell me that Eddie Holman's wife died, and I was very sorry to hear that. Eddie Holman, of course, a terrific artist, very few national hits, but some great stuff, and my all-time favorite by him is called I Love You, and his wife wrote it, so maybe we'll have to move some bumpers around and play that, so rest in peace to her. All right, so I always try for starter topics in case you're slow in calling, and by the way, that would be 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And I've got some employment-related stories here, three of them, actually. One of them was someone was outraged that her work-at-home employer was measuring her keystrokes and fired her. Well, why was she surprised? As well they should. You know, if you're going to work from home, and that's great if you've got a situation where you can, you should expect that your employer is going to find a way to measure your productivity. And in many cases, it's overt. You log on to the system before you start working, and they know exactly what you've done. So I was thinking, cry, cry, cry. Well, we've got another one along the same line. What, are you kidding me with this? And that is Meta has fired 24 staff members in Los Angeles. And if you're saying, Meta, what is that? Well, it's a company that has Facebook and Instagram. And so they're a big company, obviously. Their worth is about $1.2 trillion, and they have other online things as well, like WhatsApp. But anyhow, they dismissed 24 workers after they discovered that they had been abusing the meal system. Now, how it works, you have a lot of workers who are going to work late, and so Facebook, or Meta, if you will, said, you know, for those of you who are working through lunch or dinner at the office, we're going to give you $25 meal credits to pay for your meal. And that was the whole idea. Call in, you know, one of those, not Uber, but whoever it is that sends you your food, right? And the delivery services, the Uber Eats, the Grubhub, all right, that kind of stuff. And so it was a daily allowance. If you were there breakfast time, $20 if you ordered a meal, $25 for lunch, $25 for dinner, and then order what you want. Well, it turned out that the first hint that there was a problem with the employees abusing this actually was how upset they were in 2022 when the company decided they would delay the free daily dinner service to 6:30. And what many of them said, well, that's not fair. I leave at 6. No, it's absolutely fair. This is just supposed to be you who are working through mealtime. They're making it easier for you. Well, so now they find 24 workers, including one gal who is just a gas. She can't understand it. This woman made $400,000 a year, and she was taking her $25 meal credits and using them to buy groceries or toothpaste or wine glasses, laundry detergent. And she said, well, if I'm not eating at the office, I don't want to waste my $25 meal credit. your $25 meal credit is there to make it easier if you are working through the evening, for instance. And I look at this, and it just reminded me of the one I just talked about, where they were all aghast about keystrokes being measured at home. Well, how dare you? It's a deal where this is not a perk to your salary. It's a way to make it easier if you're on the job. So, fired for that. Gave up a $400,000 job. Yeah. Just somehow that's poetic justice. Now, okay, so that's two stories with employees behaving badly. Now I'm going to go to the other end of the spectrum and talk about this should not be a civil suit. This should be criminal. All right. The family of a Tennessee factory worker who was killed during Helene is suing the company and the CEO, claiming that their bosses snuck out of the office to escape the catastrophic weather conditions while they ordered their employees to stay. That pretty much is it. The story, I can embellish it further, but that was absolutely it. And as I say, yes, the family should sue, but this is criminal. So it was Johnny Peterson, 55 years old, and he worked at Impact Plastic, and he's now confirmed dead. And 11 employees were swept away, 5 were rescued, another 4 remain missing, and now we know about 2 deaths. So apparently, this is 10:30 in the morning, a day that Helene's going to come barreling into North Carolina. The company managers tell employees, well, move your cars because the parking lot is flooding. So they knew, and the parking lot, by the way, there floods often. It's fairly lowland. They're in a floodplain. Now, an hour later, while the workers are very afraid to do anything because they're told stay on the job, senior management, including the founder and CEO, stealthily exited the building. Now, here were closings. They've got little radios at work. They're hearing about the school closing and the business closing, and they figure, well, we can go home too. Well, Impact Plastic allegedly instruct the employees to report to work and stay at work. We have to meet order deadlines. You cannot leave. Now, they have no idea that the CEO has already, fled the scene, to say the least. It wasn't until the water had not only flooded the parking lot, but went into the building, cut off power, making work impossible, that the manager sent the workers home. But by then, they couldn't get home. And so just a horrible account of this worker's final moments. Text messages to his family where he's saying, I'm not going to escape this. I love you. Whoa. And so you had people trapped outside. You had people trapped inside. You had people who one of them climbed onto the bed of a semi-trailer attempting to escape the area and wound up drowning. And so bottom line is the workers knew that they were toast. So as far as I'm concerned, that's the other side of the coin. And I think there's one worker who's still missing, by the way. And bottom line is that shouldn't be a lawsuit. Well, it should be a lawsuit, of course. The family should be compensated. But that CEO and the rest of the C-suite should be doing some jail time for that. That is absolutely unacceptable. So anyway, that's our employee corner here for the evening, and we'll check out Mark. And Mark is in Aurora. Mark, welcome back to WGN Radio. Mark.
Yeah, when I was growing up with WCFL at AM 1000, they were always a little louder than WLS Southeast because they were directional at night. Mm-hmm. But I have been noticing with WMVP,
right,
which
same,
the
right. Same frequency,
the Chicago
right
station.
Yeah. 1000 AM, yes.
They're now ESPN, but
right.
I have been noticing lately that the sideband splatter that I experience in Aurora is the same at night as it is during the day, and I'm wondering if they have given up changing their antenna pattern at night and have now become 24 hours non-directional.
No, they can't do that. There's going to be a station in Seattle that's really upset. All right, no.
But why am I experiencing more sideband splatter at night than I used to?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I think probably it could stem from a number of things, but the thing it couldn't stem from
is their transmitter out of repair?
Well, You know, they're obviously they continue to be directional at night, and it's a pretty good pattern if you're in the Chicago area, obviously. And they're running three towers at night, where they're running two in the day.
Yeah.
That is the deal.
Oh, two during the day.
Yeah, because they're directional in the day as well.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, but that's their choice. But
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's two separate patterns, day and night. And
okay.
It's a two-tower array for the day, and it's a three-tower array for at night. And I haven't.
But why does the side? But why does the sideband splatter seem to have changed lately during overnights?
Well, it's an interesting question. I couldn't answer it, but as I say, there could be a number of
Do they have a website that might explain that?
You know, that's interesting. I'll tell you where it might come up is Radio Discussions, radiodiscussions.com, because people, this is just people posting and not that much engineering stuff, but some. Let me look to see if there's anything on there of late.
Because one thing that's definitely true is that
here we go.
It is now harder to pick up BBC One 990. I have to engage
all right,
the
so,
sidebands
so here,
almost
here is,
all the way.
Here is part of it. MVP applied for an SDA to start testing from the Joliet site. And you can go to radiodiscussions.com. The first post came May 27th, somebody wondering if they'd started working on the new transmitter site near Joliet, you know, the WCPT towers. Someone else posted the draft copy of the STA, so you can see what they're doing it. Mm. And a lot of people, in fact, just last week, someone asked, is MVP transmitting from the CPT site in Joliet as of now? Does anybody have any information? And
So they're moving the transmitter to a different location.
Yeah, but the question on October
because they had been
October 7th. Nobody knew if it was if the move had occurred. The STA was granted on September 27th, 2014. So I think that they are transmitting from CPT because if they're operating under the STA, they have the right to. So I think that they are on that Joliet site. And so
CPT is Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Yeah, doesn't matter what it is. We're just talking about, you know, using the site. And okay,
oh, but that's the 820. That's the 820 radio station.
Yeah, well, I haven't looked at the application, but they could be diplexing it beyond the same.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're doing it now. The STA indicates there's reduced power during some of the adjustments.
Now,
some people are complaining about a weaker signal in the northern suburbs, and other people are happy with it. So the modification, and you can read that. You know, all the FCC data is online. It's available.
Okay, so there has been a change done.
Yeah. Right. And with that change,
that would explain
you know darn well they're still going to be protecting the contours that they have to.
Yeah.
That obviously Seattle
but
would be
upset. The fact that they're now broadcasting out of Joliet would explain why the sideband splatter has changed in Aurora.
Yep.
Because their transmitter had previously been on Cass Avenue in Downers Grove.
Right. Absolutely. The old towers in Downers Grove, they're powering that down. And I know that site. That was like 39th Street in Saddlebrook about or that area. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you saying they're no longer broadcasting out of Downers Grove,
correct,
or are they broadcasting out of Downers Grove during the day?
No.
Joliet during the night.
Probably not. They're probably broadcasting entirely out of Joliet. But if you don't want to go read the CP, if you don't want to go read the STA, I'll read the STA and I'll let you know. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, it's a little hard for me to get on the website.
All right. Well, I'll and I can understand that.
Yeah, I thought there. Well, you're confirming that there has been a change.
Yes, there's been a change.
And see, I could tell on my Sea Crane radio because the sideband splatter was different.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's different means that it's harder for me to get BBC One at night than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I have to narrow the sidebands in order to get it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't used to have to do that.
Well, I'm going to
go ahead. Okay, thank you. Interesting.
I'll search the LMS. Just now while I was doing that, I got my I got my 404 were down. Half the time when I go there lately, you know, you can go back 10 minutes later and there. But right now, I wasn't able to log into LMS. But I will, and I will read that, and I will report back.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, so we'll talk to Karen. We'll talk to you. We'll play your requests. And in fact, I'll get to one of them coming up. And yes, then Eddie Holman, you can bet I'm going to move something aside. Somebody loses tonight so I can play I Love You. Rest in peace to Eddie's wife. All right. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, I had to hear it. Eddie Holman, I Love You. 1968 on ABC. His wife Sheila wrote that, and Pete DeAngelis produced it. But I'll never forget the first time I heard it. You know, when you hear those songs that just take you where you want to go. I was driving around Bristol Township, and Jerry Blavitt played it. I'm like, what is that? That is just too good. And yeah, still a favorite to this day. So rest in peace, Sheila. You done good. All right, they have 3 kids and 9 grandkids, so she did good all the way around. We'll check out the news and be back to you on WGN Radio.
Passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? If I only knew, then perhaps you'd fall for me like I fell for you. Passing through it. Suppose that you think you're very smart, but won't you tell me how do you do it? How do you do what you do to me? If I only knew, then perhaps you'd
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's a song that almost didn't happen. And that was a request. That was Cindy in Chicago who wanted to hear Jerry and the Pacemakers, 1964 hit in the U.S. But the story is much more involved than that. Long before Jerry and the Pacemakers recorded it, which was 1963, by the way, it was number one in Great Britain in 1963, George Martin had the Beatles record it. In fact, it was slated to be the Beatles' first single release, but that didn't happen. If you were wondering, it finally did get released about 1995, and here's what it sounded like.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew. If I knew how you do it to me, I'd do it to you. How do you do what you do to me? I'm feeling blue. Wish I knew how you do it to me, but I have no clue.
Now, so you're saying Lennon-McCartney song? No, and that's probably why it wasn't released, but initially. Mitch Murray wrote it, and it was his first success. He's a British songwriter from Surrey. In any event, here come the Beatles, and they're going to release it. It's going to be their first single. They don't like it, by the way, initially, and they said, well, we can improve it a little, and they made some changes from the demo that they got. And George Martin was saying, you know, this will be it. But at the last minute, they went on Love Me Do, and the reason, more than anything, was the pressure to release the Lennon-McCartney stuff. So that was the deal there. So instead, George Martin did it on Jerry and the Pacemakers, and in 1963, it went to number one in the UK. So, hey, you got to bring it out in America. And so in 1963, they do, and it dies. It dies in Canada, too. And a year later, Laurie had picked it up and wound up with a top 10 hit in the U.S., top 10 in Canada as well. I think number 6 in Canada and 9 in the U.S., if I recall, but that's from memory. In any event, that was it. And that's the story of How Do You Do It for Cindy in Chicago. 888-876-5593. We have Karen in Chicago. So, Karen, what's happening tonight?
Hi. You know, I just heard on the news that Sissy Houston died evidently last week.
Oh, yeah. I talked about that.
Oh, I missed it. And how it came up was they said that there's going to be a big ceremony with Darlene Love, and sure, they mentioned a couple others, Deanne Warwick, and I think a couple other people, but a great big ceremony, and I'm wondering how in the heck I can hear it.
Well, I don't know if they're going to broadcast it. If they do, that would be interesting. But yeah, Sissy was 91, and she was one of the Drinkard sisters. Emily Drinkard was her name.
I read the book, and I loved it so much. That's why it got my attention.
Yeah.
And I liked that song, Sweet Sensation, by the Sweet Sensations.
Yes, indeed, sure. And so much backup work. We could talk all night and not be through half of that.
Oh,
deal.
I know.
I'll be honest with you. Her death was a blessing. She'd been in hospice for a while, and she had Alzheimer's. And so it was a merciful end. 91 years old, she made it a good long time, but it was time to go.
Wow. Oh, and I also noticed when you played that song by Eddie Holman, I Love You.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's funny, his wife's name was Sheila.
Yes.
Well, oddly enough, my best friend in the world is named Sheila Holman.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Sheila and I met at work. She was a security guard, and I was information and referral. And she would often come and help me, like when I went out to get my cab after work or whatever. And she and I, through working together, became really, really close friends. And our families kind of adopted one another, and it's just incredible.
Wow. Well, hopefully she's still with you.
She is.
Very good.
Her husband passed, but Sheila's doing great. She and I get together quite often. She takes care of mail for me and all kinds of stuff. And we're just real close. We share everything.
Wow. All right.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, you just never know as far as that goes.
I know.
So,
and when I heard that, I said, "Boy, tomorrow I gotta call Sheila and tell her that."
Yeah, that's right. That Sheila Holman, as in Eddie's wife, is no longer with us.
She will definitely be familiar with Eddie Holman.
Oh yeah,
tell him about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of hits, big hits.
And thank you for the Manhattans.
Oh, my pleasure. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
thanks.
Would you play Sweet Inspiration if you have time?
It won't be tonight, that's for sure. I'm having to knock everything out anyway, but let me write it down and we will get it next week.
Sounds great.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
Thank you so
appreciate
much
it.
And keep up the good work.
Good deal. Yeah, and while Eddie had a number of singles before I Love You, because he had singles going all the way back to 1961 when he was on Leopard. But his first album was actually the ABC album I Love You, named for the single that I just played. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Brian and Joliet. Brian, what's up tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well.
Okay.
I was, first of all, I'd like to make a request. The Worst That Could Happen by the Brooklyn Bridge.
Sure, okay.
And is that Johnny Maestro singing lead on
that? Yes, oh yes, yes. You know the story of how they became the Brooklyn Bridge, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, you know, Johnny, of course, had been on co-ed records and had many hits with the Crests in the 50s. You know, several hits, Step by Step and The Angels Listen In, all that. But, you know, by the time the latter 60s are rolling around, guys who were popular in the doo-wop groups of the 50s didn't have a chance. And so Johnny had been talking to another guy in the record industry, an executive, not a musician, and saying, you know, I'm putting a band together and we're gonna release something. And the guy said, well, I hate to tell you, man, you got as much chance of being a success as selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And so that's where the name came from. And of course, the prevailing logic was fairly solid in terms of historical perspective, because most of the acts who had hits in the 50s couldn't get arrested in the latter 60s. So Johnny Maestro fooled them all.
Well, the songs like in the 50s, the groups like, Step by Step, that would be
that's the bumper
you play.
Yeah, right.
One of the bumpers was Johnny Maestro last Monday. That would be considered doo-wop in the 50s.
Sure.
But then The Worst That Could Happen would be considered more soul.
Well, I don't even think it's that. I just think it's a little pop hit. And it was. It was a Hot 100 pop hit, you know, and it did very well. So I don't know that they were trying to establish a genre as much as to get back on the charts, and they sure did do it. They had some follow-ups. They weren't big hits, but they did have some follow-ups. And they got, you know, a lot of touring in there. And then, of course, shortly thereafter, that's when the oldies revival really started, and he actually got more touring as the Crests.
Well, I've seen it a few times on the them perform The Worst That Can Happen on the Best of Ed Sullivan show.
Right.
They really did a really great job. He did, and the whole group did a great job of singing it on their live.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, he was always good. And, you know, the Crests were interesting because back then there weren't that many truly interracial groups. And the Crest was like the UN, for God's sakes. They had everybody in that, and it worked well. And then, of course, Brooklyn Bridge was an awful lot of people. And, again, worked well. In fact, while Johnny Maestro was with the Crest, Luther Vandross's sister sung with them for a while.
Oh.
And not on co-ed, but on Joyce. So she left because she was 15 at the time, and her mother said, my 15-year-old daughter is not going to do that. And so that was it. You know, and that's when they had My Juanita. That was on Joyce and all that, and then they went to co-ed.
Do you see a real definition between doo-wop and soul?
No, as I've said before, when people ask me this, I'm not big on labels at all. I think they're, and you see that in radio formats too, I think that's to the detriment of the whole thing. To me, it's a sound. And, you know, if you like it and the sound is right, then that's fine. You don't need to categorize it.
I agree. because it doo-wop or what they call a doo-wop song to me is great one. It's very soulful.
Well, remember when the doo-wop artists were doing doo-wop, there was no such thing as doo-wop. The term doo-wop wasn't coined until 1971, Gus Gossard. What you're talking about was vocal group harmony and, you know, traditional vocal group harmony. That's all it was. But it certainly wasn't doo-wop when it was happening.
I didn't know that at all.
Oh, yeah. It was Gus Gossard who came up with that, the late Gus Gossard. And he was the first guy to put the oldies revival tours together. And then he got murdered.
Oh.
Yeah, in Knoxville. I don't know that that was ever solved. I should look that up, but years ago I had looked it up and it hadn't been, so we'll see. But Gus Gossard, he was responsible. And in fact, he'd be asked, and he said, no, you know, I wasn't necessarily the first. Well, it's the first we could find, so we go with that. So let's see. So unsolved, yes. Appalachian unsolved. Who killed the doo-wop DJ? I guess it's among the oldest cases in Knox County that they're still trying to solve. So he was 33 at the time, found dead in his car.
Oh, it's tragic.
Yeah, it was 1976. But before that, from like 71 till time he died, he put together all of those, you know, really recreation of the oldie shows, brought those groups back who, you know, couldn't get arrested in the middle and latter 60s.
Well, that was a great idea, kind of like Dick Clark's revival.
Yeah. Well, of course, Dick Clark was big when they were actually, when the artists were contemporary, when they were hits, you know, the Caravan of Stars and all of that stuff. So, you know, the oldies thing, there were a few major promoters on that. But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking some time and taking my call, Raleigh.
Always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling, Brian.
Thank you. Bye
All right.
now.
So, and we will play Worst That Could Happen. Definitely not tonight, but we will next week for sure. I'm going to read more about this. But yeah, unsolved. They never, ever solved that Gus Gossard. And I heard different things that I won't mention. But he was in Knoxville because he went to work for Johnny Perkle. And if you're from Knoxville, you know that name. And so he was working as a disc jockey on OKI and shot dead in his car right off Watt Road. Somehow appropriate, Watt Road. All right, so we'll get to Andrew in Chicago, and there's room for you, too, on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. Little Joe and the Thrillers, Peanuts, 1957 on OK. We'll talk more about them later, but right now we'll hear the news on WGN Radio.
Say, man, look here, man. Let's get together tonight and play some hide and go seek. What's that? Let's get together and play some hide and go seek. Let's go. What's that?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Bunker Hill. Yeah, hide and go seek. And that is what Jim in New Hampshire wanted to hear last night. Came out in 1962 on Mala. So obviously his name wasn't Bunker Hill. It was David Walker. And he's from D.C. The reason that he changed it to Bunker Hill is he was actually in the Mighty Clouds of Joy at the time. And so he thought, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing something like this, even though he wrote it. Link Wray's brother set up the session, and in fact, Link Wray and his band played on it. And so that turned out to be a hit. Got to number 27 on the R&B charts, 33 on the pop charts. In fact, it was in the movie Hairspray. And bottom line is that the Mighty Clouds of Joy found out, and they politely asked him to leave. Now, what he did after that, I don't know, but he didn't do it for all that long because, sadly, he died in Houston in 1986. He was 44 years old, so I don't know. But, yes, that definitely is Link Wray, uncredited in the background there of Hide and Go Seek. So Bunker Hill, a fine song all the way around. Now, Andrew in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio. Tell me about this job interview.
Oh, no. I guess I misspoke. It's about, it's just advice on getting an interview in. So, you know, I was taught with the idea that if you were to apply for a job, keep calling constantly to ask for an interview. Evidently, people have been telling me that my dad misinformed me.
Well, whatever advice your dad gave you, unfortunately, is dated by now because the paradigm has shifted completely, especially if you're applying for things online. The first and maybe second round are AI. They're not even people looking at your resume and all that. By the time you get to the point that they want to do a callback, you're a few steps down the road. So as far as continually calling, that depends on the situation, but it certainly can be perceived as a pain in the rear. So I know what your dad's thinking. He's thinking, show the initiative that you really want this. But that can backfire badly. It can also work. It depends on the circumstance.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the past, you know, older employers liked it. But younger ones, you know, like recently, you know, I guess I wasn't patient enough. But somebody literally, the HR person literally slammed their the headset down.
When you say HR, as far as I'm concerned, you've lost the battle right there. I think if there is a hell on earth, it's the HR department. I have absolutely no respect for these professionals. I'm sorry if you are one, but my blood boils thinking about them. And so I never, you know, when I was working, I never would deal with anything that had an HR department. Or back then, well, it wasn't human resources, you know, it was personnel. But no. If I can't deal one-on-one with the person I'm going to be working for, go to hell, all of you. So I can't really speak to it because I find those things just reprehensible. And I understand why companies have to have them. And today, it's less about human resources than it is about compliance. If they're a big company, especially, the amount of government paperwork alone would choke a pony. So I get why it's there. I just don't interact with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, HR people, my very first, you know, experience with an HR person is to really set the tone for my, you know, because I was in high school, at Louisville High School, in the district they had the Del Jackson Career Center. And, you know, I took courses in my senior year in hospitality, and we got to go to the Marriott Quorum in Dallas. And this person, and I was there as, like, on the front end, like, the bellhop and stuff. And so, at first I was in the culinary section, you know, only, because I thought I wanted to be a chef at that time. Well, I, as the chef was lady chef, and I mentioned that for a reason. She was getting all these carrots out and showing us different ways of cutting it. There was one that was deformed and it looked like, you know, male genitalia, and I kept making suggestive noises, and she thought it was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Then and all of that. But right behind me was the HR lady. She's not there anymore. named Gretchen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was her name, Gretchen.
Yeah.
And and she looked at me and said that was not funny, especially in front of a woman. And the chef looked at her like, I thought it was funny. And she just gave her the stare. Then she came to me in my office, and Ms. Mills, who was the actual teacher for Adele Jackson, we were there together, and she just berated me. And she mm-hmm. said to Nelda Mills, I need you to expel him from this program because what he did was sexual harassment and it will not be tolerated. And she said to Gretchen, he's 18. And he says, well, right, he needs to learn now about misogyny and sexual harassment against women in the workplace. And they got into a fight. So the agreement was I wouldn't be there for a week, for a week. And I came back, and she just hated me. So I only went at the bell position, the bellhop position, which I loved. But, and there was something, too, right after that. She tried doing it again when she had something to do. That's right. There was in the break room, there was, like a soda fountain, And it wasn't working, and I tried using it, and I said, that sucks. And she heard me, and, she tried to spin that into talking about, a sexual act regarding that word. And Miss Mills was like, yeah, just drop it. You're not going to get rid of him. So from that point on, Raleigh, I am tainted, I guess, the right way on HR.
Well, all of that. It's just a discipline. I understand it's there. Life is too short. I don't interact with it.
Oh, yeah. But you can't really get away from it unless it's a small business. Involved.
Right. Well, and that to me is always the way to go.
The second thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I just came up with it. Sorry if it's too political, but it's, decades ago. Do you think that we was totally necessary for us to bomb Japan at the end of World War II?
Okay, now we are getting into not only political but historical things that are inappropriate. And of course, I'm a conspiratorialist. So if we were going to have this this discussion, we would be having it on my terms, which would be about how we were enticed into the war and why. But not for this show.
Can I email you about it?
No, well, I don't have time. Is the problem?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I get it now.
Really, I wish I did, but I just don't. I barely have time to breathe these days. I'm doing the show from Globe tonight because there were just too many things going on, and I've got to get back to the Valley tomorrow and on and on and on. So, yeah, no, we'll have to leave World War II where it is. But, if you're interested in it, the nice thing about it is that regardless of your viewpoint, there are volumes written on this from every possible aspect.
Well, yeah.
So go for it.
I would like a lead on this topic in particular and how we were enticed. I mean, any book you recommend?
No, not off the top of my head.
Okay.
But you can find it. If there's anybody who believes we were surprised at Pearl Harbor, well, they believe in the Easter Bunny, too. Let's just leave it there.
Well, I know about that.
All right. So then
have a good night.
Then go from there. All right. Thanks for calling and good luck. Appreciate it, Andrew. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Let's see. We've got Stacy in Algonquin. We're going to talk to her in moments. All right, and James on the South Side and his stories, and Sherry in Naperville. And there is room for you, and maybe before the night is out, we will talk about Gus Gossert. Hard to tell on WGN Radio.
Anything. Yes, I will. Oh, I
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Sam and Bill. And you're saying who? Well, with a nice 1965 remake of For Your Love, and it was on Joda. And you remember Joda. That was Johnny Nash's label with Danny Sims, indeed. And that was probably the best thing on it. Sam Johnson of Sam and Bill would have been 92 this week. All right, so rest in peace, Sam. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we go to Stacy in Algonquin. How you doing tonight, Stacy?
Oh, I'm good. How are you doing, Raleigh?
I can't complain. So are you celebrating Sukkot?
You know more than me.
Well, no, actually, you know, it is, there's food involved. But then again, you know, 9 one-syllable words describe every Jewish holiday. And that is, they tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. And Sukkot is, and of course, if you're speaking it from the Hebrew, it's Sukkot. But if you're speaking it from the Yiddish, where I used to hear this in Miami Beach, it was Sukkot. I don't know why, an S instead of a T, but that's what they did. In any event, it's the pilgrimage, and there's food. So
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I should know this.
It's the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Feast of the Booths. And it's in the Torah. It's 7 days, and you get to take the first day off work. I remember that. Well, it's always the 15th of Tishrei. But of course, you know, their calendar, I don't know what it works on, but not the same as ours for sure. But anyway, so it's the harvest festival. So go out and eat something nice.
Okay, I was just wondering, what is the next date that we write the abundance check and the time?
All right, November 1st, 7:47 a.m. So if you're like me and you've 7:47, if you're like me and you've never seen 7:47 in the morning, write it at night before you go to sleep. But so that'd be write it at Halloween right before you go to sleep. But then Friday morning, November 1st, 7:47 a.m. is the official new moon date.
Right, because it's the new moon.
Yeah, because today was the full moon. You know, today was the full moon. Super moon, hunter moon. Yes, so new moon, November 1st.
7:47 a.m.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Ron.
All right. Thanks for calling.
And you and John, stay well and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I will talk to you very soon.
I hope so. Thanks. All right, so always good to hear from Stacy, who sounds so good. And isn't that nice? All right, so 888-876-5593. Leah and Marcus Hook has a book suggestion. Go for it, Leah.
Oh, no, it was Facebook. I was going to suggest to Andrew that he go on Facebook and find a chat room, because there is a chat room for everything.
Oh my God.
On Facebook. And okay, he could find a specific chat room for that very thing that he's talking about.
Okay. In terms of why we dropped the bomb on Japan, ending World War II. And, of course, you know,
he could discuss it with people, right, and he could get into, like, really detailed conversations with people.
Oh, I'm sure he can get into fights. I'm sure it can be extraordinary.
Yeah. So if he's looking for that type of interaction, I would suggest Facebook.
Okay, why not? I guess. And so, now historically speaking, of course, like we were taught back in the day in school, was Japan was unwilling to surrender unconditionally. They wanted to keep their emperor and conduct their own war trials, and they didn't want to be occupied. And, well, so anyway, we bombed them. So, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
You didn't pay you didn't pay attention in American history, you're telling me?
not really.
Oh,
since then, I've studied it on my own, but okay, not in school, no.
Okay, yeah.
I was hardly there or, you know, on this plane of existence.
So you kind of made a cameo appearance every now and then to history class?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, when I was there, I wasn't, you know, I was in an altered state of mentality.
Oh, great. Just great. All right. So
altered state of consciousness.
yeah. Well, I'm sure there's an alternate reality on this too. And yes, if Andrew wants to explore it, I'm sure there's no shortage of people who will talk about it, debate it, and get a few good conspiracies going too.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can read about it, but when you really want to discuss it with someone, you know, it's kind of lonely just to read about it, but you can really get some good conversations going on Facebook. And just like with the pyramid thing, I get some good discussions going on there with the pyramids, you know?
Okay.
And,
well, I'm jealous.
The pyramid discussion.
Yeah, this means you have time on your hands. I'm absolutely jealous.
Well, no, I do it as I'm falling asleep, to try and fall asleep. That's when I'm on Facebook, when I'm trying to fall asleep.
And it works?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, when I'm waiting for my medical marijuana to kick in.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that's
I got to eat first uh-huh. and then take my pill. And then it takes like about 2 hours for it to kick in. So that's when I'm laying in bed on Facebook.
Uh-huh. Well, it's an interesting medicinal protocol, but I'll give it that. Well, maybe Andrew can try that and report back.
Yeah, that was just my little suggestion for him.
All right. Well, good deal.
So
thanks.
You guys have a great weekend.
You too. We'll talk to you
soon. I know you're going to be busy working,
oh,
probably.
Unfortunately, yes. It's not good. But, hey, I guess it beats all the alternatives. We're not hungry, so I don't look any of this askance. It's like, thank God we're eating. All right, talk to you soon.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Yeah, so beats all the alternatives, so as far as that goes. But a little less of it might be nice. All right, we'll get to Sherry in Naperville and James on the South Side. Right now we'll get to the news right here on WGN Radio. James, and that was Jeff and Beloit's request. Robert Johnson, Robert Leroy Johnson, Sweet Home Chicago, 1937 on Vocalion. So I found it. Hopefully he enjoyed it. Now, I heard about Mitzi Gaynor dying. I had not heard before. I just heard the blurb on the news. She was 93. And, you know, she was another denizen of Miami Beach, appearing at, you know, all the showrooms and the clubs and all that over the years. And she was on the same Ed Sullivan show. It was the second Beatles appearance that was at the Deauville Hotel in Miami Beach. And the funniest thing about that is that Paul McCartney asked her for her autograph. Yeah, not on stage, but that was always known after the fact that had happened. But she said, I love them. They were divine. They were gentlemen. They were sweet. And, so that was Mitzi Gaynor. I'll always remember her for Paul McCartney asking for her autograph. But, of course, her career was so much larger than that. So rest in peace. But 93, it was a good long life. 888-876-5593. Sherry is in Naperville. What's up, Sherry?
Hi. I'm going to take you off speaker real quick. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. I was calling. I didn't hear the whole conversation with Mark from Aurora, and John didn't either. But I heard the tower parts and towers moving and something to do with some radio station. Mm-hmm. and interference or whatever, nighttime, daytime, all the stuff you are very proficient in knowledge on. But is he having a hard time getting a reading?
No. Mark is a diehard fan, and he noticed that there was a different form of interference than he usually heard. And so he was saying, what changed? And so that's what...
You're a diehard fan for you.
Well, no, for radio in general. I mean, the old WCFL, which is now WMVP, that's one of Good Karma, Mel Karmazin's kid owns that. But in any event, they're moving their towers their transmission point to Joliet, and so they applied for a CP, which they got, and a few weeks ago they started to broadcast with it, and the CP. He was asking about it. And in fact, I did pull it, and I'll tell him a little bit more about it.
Well,
but that's what
I
it
heard
was.
That part.
That was what it was.
Different for him. I mean, what does he need to fix?
No, he doesn't need to fix anything. He's just curious.
Oh, okay. I thought it was interfering with the station.
No. He's just curious. He's a fan. He wants to know what's going on.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to suggest there's two online 2-minute delay online radio station platforms from all over the U.S. that I'll listen to, because sometimes, like, if I want to listen to WBBM online, because our bows broke last in Easter, but at any rate, so we listen online now, and if I want to listen to WBBM, the All Business, All News, all the time, I go through, I don't go through their online website.
No, you go through one of the aggregators. But see, you're all you're interested in is the content, and that's not where he's coming from.
I was just going to suggest for anybody, if they ever want to know.
Well, sure.
I think it's Online Radio Box, and then the other one I think is.
There are many
U.S. Radio. Something.
Like I said,
well, those are the two
that you
US
like.
Radio or something like that. Okay. But we'll listen to, you always say you listen to some cooking show or something to fall asleep.
No, they're not cooking shows, that's for sure. They're like near-death experiences or aliens or things like that.
And that makes you sleep?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Psychic
well,
predictions,
I will tell you what I
Vedic astrology, yeah, gone. All right.
But there's an old-time radio show that's all they play. And then there's a... I'll listen to maybe the FMT in Chicago, which is classical. However, when they have pounding pianos or violent violins, and I gotta switch. But there's also the 70s station out of Sacramento that David and I both enjoy. But I mean, that's like for sleeping, not our regular what we're interested in during the daytime hours. At any rate, I just wanted to mention it if anybody's interested.
Okay, good deal.
Because I thought he could have someone help him.
Yeah, but that. But his game is not to hear the content. It's to hear the transmission. And I understand that. He wants to hear it on AM.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, AM, I mean, I can only listen to AM on the computer, where my cell phone... you can only listen to FM, which kind of ticks me off. But thank God for WGN, they have that amper wave thing that I can stick on my cell phone.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Sure. Sorry.
That's all right.
I missed it. I thought he needed help of some sort.
Nope. Thanks. All right. But I'm very glad Sherry called, because that reminded me to tell Mark that, I read the STA, and Carl Jones put this together, who's a great consulting engineer. All right, so the deal is they're going to Diplex from the CPT transmitter site in Joliet, and the CP authorizes them to operate at 1,000 kilohertz with daytime power of 50 kilowatts, nighttime 37 kilowatts with separate directional patterns. But what this STA allows for is, in the testing phase, they're requesting to operate MVP at the CPT site non-directionally as necessary at a power level no greater than 25% of authorized power to facilitate implementation and adjustment of the CP and to protect workers, obviously, during equipment installation and adjustment and directionality during daytime and nighttime hours with the new moment method model derived operating parameters at the power levels authorized in the CP up till the time. Okay, that is the deal. So that's what's happening. They are broadcasting from Joliet. And when they are doing it non-directionally, it's at 25% of the allocated power, which is 50 kilowatts in the day and 37 kilowatts at night. All right, so now Mark knows. And so that's why when he's hearing interference of a different type, we'll just leave it there rather than be explicit, he's saying, what's going on? Well, that's what's going on. So I don't know. The Downers Grove site, they probably sold the land. I have no idea. I'd have to look that up, but I don't know. So that's what we know about that. But yes, the internet, as far as streams, thank God they didn't have this when I was young, because I never would have left my room. They would have just had to slide meat under the door a few times a day. Yeah, it'd be too good. But now, for the most part, you know, it's sad. I've got some great DXing radios, for instance, and I can pick up all sorts of stations, and I don't want to hear what's on any of them. That's why I like WGN, and I really do. It's terrific. But most of the time, what I would like to hear, I'm not hearing on any of those stations. So, all right. 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And it was... we're going to get to James on the South Side in his stories, but it was Jeff in Portland who wanted to hear California Dreamin' by the Mamas and Papas. And we'll get there, but I thought we'd also play the Jacksonians. Yeah. And don't know if you know it, but Bobby Womack did it as well. So all that and more is coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Jacksonians. That was Marlo Lanier's family, indeed. And they, of course, became Marlo and Company, and then, of course, Marlo a solo artist now. But in 1973 on MGM, they made some noise with their version of California Dreamin'. Now, about 4 years earlier, Bobby Womack decided to cut it. And, you know, I got to tell you that if I had to guess what pop record would catch the interest of soul performers, California Dreamin' probably wouldn't have been at the top of the list. But Bobby Womack sure thought it was.
All the leaves are brown and the sky is gray. I went for a walk on a winter's day. I'd be saving more if I was in L.A. On such a winter's day, went to the church yesterday. I stopped along the way. Well, I got
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was Bobby Womack. Chips Moman produced that, which is interesting. And that was on Minute. So that was a little different take. But the Mamas and Papas, actually, it's interesting because long before they were on Dunhill, well, around the time they were on Dunhill, actually, because they signed in 65, they originally put California Dreamin' out on RCA and then again on Dunhill after that. But, of course, since Jeff wanted to hear it by the Mamas and Papas, we ought to give them at least some equal time here. So that and the flip side, Go Where You Want to Go, pretty much were the first for the Mamas and Papas, 1965, Dunhill stateside. All right, so Jeff, there you go. I hope you liked one of them at least. So in the meantime, as we close the show, we got a few minutes to go here, and James on the south side is going to go with us. So how's it going, James?
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, always, always. Now, I hate to do this, but you can't send me things where the subject is shared from Newsbreak. All right.
Okay. Oh.
You know,
okay.
Come on. You're wanting to help me, not make life harder.
Okay, but sometimes what'll happen is like I'll be trying to get and then try to get it to source and then it won't source and then I'm like thinking. Oh. What's happening with my phone?
Well,
okay, my phone, but there's some issues with my phone. I'm like thinking, okay, well, like for instance, a friend called me and said, "I've just called you a few times," and I say, "It's not appearing on the phone that you called." Like,
well, it's all right. But when in doubt, just don't send. All right, now. But this, and that story I didn't care about anyway, but this woman who fatally spiked her boyfriend's sweet tea with antifreeze, what I loved about this is why she did it. She's now been sentenced. By the way, she's not in England. She's in North Dakota, and she's going to spend over 20 years, which is not a lot of time, really, for killing somebody, but she poisoned his sweet tea with antifreeze. Now, what I love about this is why she did it. She did it because she wanted to get her hands on his $30 million inheritance. The only problem is he didn't have a $30 million inheritance. You know, you'd think that if you're planning to take somebody's life, you would first verify what you were going to get out of it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, she didn't. Because when I looked at the story, it seemed like both her and the person who's her intended victim, both got hoodwinked by the same relative.
Right. Well, I guess the deal was another one of this cases where the guy got one of those, like we all get an email or whatever, like you just get $30 million from some unknown relative, and they believed it. So, yeah, apparently when he learned about the inheritance, he decided that he was leaving town and going to split the money with his sons and all this. And so, meanwhile, she kills him. There's no money.
Yeah.
So.
And she's pretty much, okay, she's up a creek without a paddle.
Yes, but she won't need to paddle because they'll supply that in prison for her. So I'm just surprised it was only a couple decades. That was, but then again, like you say, there were more points of interest in that particular soap opera. So we also have, and I thought this was somewhat interesting. I was talking about it earlier, about Facebook firing the staff for using the free meal vouchers. Now, if you're making $400,000 a year from Facebook, why are you trying to pilfer the $25 meal voucher?
Yeah, I would basically say, hey, I've got a chance to eat. Okay, that's fine. I don't need it. Yeah, okay, I got more than enough to get whatever meal I want. but apparently, these guys just simply, they weren't satisfied with just a little something. It was right. Like, I want the whole enchilada.
Yeah, I think John just walked in, and I think, no, I go to the top of the hour on this one.
No, right. I was going to say, it was a California mortgage, that's why.
Oh, that's funny. John says, well, I understand the $25. You know, the prices of real estate in California, the mortgage alone would make you do it. Well, maybe so, but no. I think if you're making 400 grand a year, I think you can at least afford a one-bedroom. All right, now we have a man who allegedly groped children at the haunted house. Lovely.
Yeah, I'm like, basically, first off, okay, obviously, you got some issues, buddy. And you shouldn't be near any of under the age of 18, or certainly between the ages of 11 and 18.
Well, I can tell this story now because Johnny Adair is dead. But when I was in Jacksonville, we had a big haunted house. It was a top 40 radio station, and the whole thing was done right. In fact, we were greeting the monsters coming in from Transylvania on Delta Flight something or other. Delta was in on it. They actually, the monsters, of course, were from the JCs, of all things. And they had them dressed up as, you know, everything in the world. And they actually taxied out. They got them on the plane. So the kids who were, you know, going to see them get off the plane actually got to see them get off the plane back in the days when you walk down steps. Now, never mind that it was a torrential downpour, but these guys did it. And here was the haunted house. Okay, so we all of us staffers had to take turns, you know, appearing at the haunted house. So, oh man. So here it is. The haunted houses are dark. Obviously, this groper, this 58-year-old groper in Cedar Rapids knows this. Well, so did one of the staffers at the radio station who apparently took a liking to Johnny Adair because they were doing the deed in a casket, which apparently, here's the display, and the casket is moving rhythmically. The kids are walking by, and I knew exactly what was happening, and I was, for once, completely without anything verbal to say about it. It's like, all right, kiddies, keep walking. You know, so when I was reading this, I thought, oh, my God. But in this case, he's grabbing the breasts of a 15-year-old. So this is, you know, this is not like a child. This is a teenager, for God's sakes. And, you know, squeezes the buttocks of this is just... And so, of course,
yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's totally creepy. But on top of that, you see, like I was saying, my clue was that the casket was moving. The coffin was not on a casket. The coffin was moving rhythmically. Well, I would think that in this haunted houses, the other people working would have noticed that he was drunk as a skunk. Apparently, the police say smelled of alcohol, slurring his speech. Long before this, they should have, in fact, said, buddy, you're out of here. And by the way, the show is over. I didn't realize it. We're out of time. I'll talk to you next week. Thank you, James. All right. No, I mean, really, I'm really out of time. It is after 11 o'clock, so it is time for the news. We thank Adam. We thank John. We thank you. I'm Raleigh. It's a wrap on WGN Radio.